Welcome to Radio Sefarad's English Corner. I'm your host, Linda Jimenez, bringing news and other features of Jewish interest to Radio Sefarad's English-speaking audience in Spain and around the world. Our trivia question for this week is, what percentage of the visitors to Berlin's Jewish Museum are from other countries, and what is their main reason for visiting the museum? The Jewish Museum Berlin was opened in 2001 and is one of the largest Jewish museums in Europe. It consists of three main buildings, two of which were designed for the museum by architect Daniel Libeskind. The permanent exhibition, as well as various changing exhibitions, trace German Jewish history from its beginnings in the 4th century to the present. This history is documented in the collections, the library and the archive, in the computer terminals at the museum's Raphael Roth Learning Center, and is reflected in the museum's program of events. The museum is one of Berlin's most frequented museums, with over 700,000 visitors a year. Maren Kruger, the curator of the museum's permanent collection, spoke with us about the museum, its history, contents, and some upcoming changes. Thank you very much for speaking with us today, Maren. Could you tell us a little bit about the history of the museum, maybe beginning with the previous museum, which is a much older building and is right next door?
The Jewish Museum Berlin, in the building designed by the American architect Daniel Libeskind, was opened in 2001. But before that, in the old building that is part of our museum today, the old building housed a historical museum on the history of the city of Berlin. And in this museum, there was a department that dealt with Jewish history of Berlin. But it was only a small part of this whole museum that focused on Berlin as the capital of Germany. And so this old Berlin museum developed into a very large Jewish museum.
When was it decided to build the new museum, and how did that come about?
Yeah, the new museum was built first as an extension to the old Berlin Museum. That was the name of this old museum on the history of the city of Berlin, Berlin Museum. And so the extension and the large structure designed by Daniel Libeskind as at first was intended to be an addition to the Berlin Museum. And the initial intention was that it should house the history of the city of Berlin, but with a strong focus on the Jewish history of the city.
Who decided on the design? Because the design, I think, is very important for the exhibition itself. How was that decided on?
Yeah, there was a competition, an architectural competition, and Daniel Libeskind won the competition, and that's why this structure has been built. And because Daniel Libeskind's building as a building so much focuses on the Holocaust and on exile and on Jewish history in Germany, it's sort of inscribed in the architecture very strongly. This made it possible that the whole museum changed into a Jewish museum.
As the curator of the permanent collection, can you tell us about the permanent collection?
The permanent exhibition, although the whole museum with the present permanent exhibition, was opened in 2001. And the idea was, when we opened, that it should be very accessible to a broad audience. And that was quite new when we opened in 2001. It was quite new for German museums, not for museums in the United States and the Anglo-Saxon world, but here it was quite new to focus so much on accessibility to a broad audience, which means families, children, teenagers, young people. So that was very important for the concept work on the exhibition, that it should be a very popular exhibition with lots of interactive elements, with not only giving facts on German Jewish history, but also offering light ways of presenting this history to a broad public. And what is very important in our museum concerning the permanent exhibition is that we are not a Holocaust museum. Some visitors expect us to be a Holocaust museum, but we are not. Though the Holocaust is strongly inscribed in the architecture, but we focus on the history of Jews in Germany from the beginnings in the 4th century until the present. And so we also tell stories of a fruitful relationship between Jews and Christians, Jews and Germans.
Tell us a little bit about how you do this. I mean, you mentioned that you're doing it in a way that's more modern than just the kind of dry giving the facts. Can you give us some examples?
Yeah, for example, what we present in the permanent exhibition, we know a lot about our visitors, by the way, because we do a lot of visitor research, we observe visitor behavior in the exhibitions, etc. And after opening, we found out through these visitor questionnaires that they would like to know more about Jewish religion. And so a few years later, we installed a small new area in the exhibition where we focus on Jewish religion, but we do not show any historical objects, but we only present 9 animated films that show places, rituals, objects that are relevant in the 3 religions, Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. And the target audience of this area are teenagers. And so we approach the subject in a very light, again, light and a bit humorous also way that is adequate for this audience.
Is there anything that you think stands out that people really remember after visiting the museum about the permanent exhibition?
Yeah, I mean, part of the permanent exhibition is an area in the basement of the museum, designed by Daniel Liebeskind, that they encounter first when they enter the museum. It's the so-called X's, we call them X's, or Daniel Liebeskind called them X's. And this area focuses on the Holocaust and on exile, on Jews emigrating from Germany after 1933. And in this area of the museum, the architecture is extremely strong, extremely powerful. And there are 2 memorials also designed by Daniel Liebeskind. One is called Holocaust Tower, the other is called Garden of Exile. And we know that the visitors, that this is this area and the architecture of that area combined with the objects we present is very powerful for the visitors.
Now, you mentioned the Jewish history in Germany. I don't know if it's in Berlin only or in Germany in general, began in the 4th century. Can you tell us a little bit about Jewish history here? Just very briefly, obviously, because it's a very long history.
Yeah, I mean, about the beginnings in the 4th century, we know only fragments, so we don't know much, but we present some objects in our exhibition that give hints to the fact that Jews lived in the area that is Germany today in the 4th century, but we don't know if a Jewish community already existed, so many questions can't be answered concerning that very early area. But what we know is that since the 9th, 10th century, there were steady Jewish settlements in what is Germany today, especially at the River Rhine. And since the Middle Ages, there was a really flourishing Jewish life in Germany, especially in several places.
Can you tell us anything about the temporary exhibits?
Again, concerning the temporary exhibits, we try to find modern, new, surprising ways to present subjects. In temporary exhibitions, sometimes we don't only focus on Judaism, but we compare Jewish history or Jewish culture and religion to other cultures, as we did in a changing exhibition on Kashrut, or as we did in a changing exhibition on circumcision. And in some changing exhibitions, at least we try to have very quite spectacular exhibition design and find new ways of presenting subjects to the public, because of course the permanent exhibition by now is quite old. We can't change so much in the permanent exhibition, though we try to do that. So the changing exhibitions, really, that's really where we can try out things and find new ways of presenting subjects to the public.
You briefly mentioned the visitors. Can you give us a profile of the visitors? How many visitors do you have each year? Where are they from? Their ages? Anything you might know?
Yeah. So about 700,000 visitors are coming each year to our museum. That is a lot. And about 75% of these visitors are tourists from abroad. So we are really a tourist site, what we did not expect when we opened. And most of our visitors want to see the architecture of Daniel Liebeskind, and they want to get an overview on German Jewish history in the permanent exhibition. And we have a very strong age group of young people, of teenagers, because of course also many, many German school classes, school groups come to our museum, not only from Germany, also from the neighboring countries, and very many young people come to see our museum.
Do you know where most of these foreign visitors are from?
Yeah, many are from France, Italy. Yeah, it changes from year to year, and it often depends on cheap flights from other European countries that are offered, that encourage people to come to Berlin for a weekend from Italy, for example, or from France. So our visitor profile depends a lot on the kind of tourists that come to Berlin from year to year.
Do you know what percentage are Jewish?
Yeah, we know that about between 6 and 10% of our visitors are Jewish.
That's all?
That's all, yes. We are a museum that focuses on a non-Jewish audience, especially in the permanent exhibition. We know our visitors don't know anything about Jewish history and culture. Many of them don't know anything about German history either. So we really try to convey, to give a very general information about what Judaism means and what German Jewish culture looked like. That in the changing exhibitions, it's a bit different because, of course, Berliners and people from the surroundings of Berlin who have more pre-knowledge of subjects come to the changing exhibitions.
I found the permanent exhibition very, very interesting as a Jewish person because, of course, there were many things I knew, but I found that although it was clear that you were presenting these things in an educational way to people who didn't know about them, there wasn't any kind of paternalistic attitude or, I mean, in other places that I've been that are trying to explain what Judaism is to people who don't know about it, they tend to be very, very simplistic. And I didn't find that at all in this museum. I found it to be done in a very sensitive adult, I guess what I want to say is an adult way, so that people can really appreciate it. That was my impression.
Mm-hmm. I'm very glad to hear that, because of course it's a difficult task on the one hand to explain things to subjects, to people who don't know anything about them, but not to make them too simple at the same time. And of course, what we want to show is the complexity of German Jewish history and the complexity of Jewish culture and religion. And this is something we try to realize. Yeah.
You also mentioned school groups. Do you have special programs designed for school groups or just school groups that come to visit?
We have guided tours, of course, for school groups, but there are also special offers for school groups. And one of my favorite programs for school groups and also students, university students, are the so-called archival workshops, because in these workshops, the students see the museum, but then they work with material that we collect in our archives. They look at the material of our archival collection, and sometimes the donor of these objects, that they look at in the workshop is present and tells about his or her story. So they try to look at the objects, mainly documents, photographs of Jewish families, try to interpret them, and then they are able to discuss this with the donor of these objects.
Do you have any favorite part of the exhibit or something that you say, listen, if you're coming, because as I mentioned to you, I had been told that you should allow 2 hours to see the museum, and mm-hmm. I was here for 4.5. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you would say, this is something you really shouldn't miss?
Yeah, I think what visitors should not miss is this area of the so-called axes. They're called axes of the Holocaust and axes of exile in the first part of the museum and of the permanent exhibition, because there, what I like about this part of the museum is that it's a combination between the architecture and the objects on display. The architecture on the one hand is very, very powerful, but also the objects in a different way are also very powerful, because, for example, in the axes of the Holocaust, we present objects from private donors that tell about family members or friends that were deported and murdered in the camps, like last letters written or objects handed over to relatives before deportation. And so we present everyday objects, very simple objects, one might say, with very strong stories, strong personal stories. And this combination between the Liebeskind's architecture and the personal stories, I think, is very successful and very moving and touching to the visitors.
What kind of feedback have you gotten from visitors? Because I know you ask for feedback, which is a very good thing.
Yeah, we have a lot of sources, like visitor questionnaires that are done by the Visitor Research Department regularly, comments on Facebook and other sources or in guest books in the exhibition. And the comments are very positive, one might say, in general, but there is also criticism. And one main criticism is that many visitors say the details in the permanent exhibition are very interesting, but that the larger picture is somehow lost. So, as we would say in German, the red thread through the exhibition somehow is missing. We focus too much on details and on adding details to each other, and the thematic context is somehow lost. That's one main criticism.
Are you doing anything about it, or?
Yeah, we try to do something about it. Since the opening of the exhibition in 2001, we try to take objects out or focus better on one subject, where in the beginning we presented three subjects. But within the existing exhibition structure, the existing exhibition architecture, this is a bit difficult. In some parts we succeeded, but we couldn't solve the problem as we would like to have solved it. And that's one reason why the museum at present is working on a new permanent exhibition. So we will close the existing permanent exhibition in December this year. Apart from the axes area, that will be still open, but the chronological presentation of German Jewish history will be closed for about 1.5 years. And in 2019, we hope to open a new permanent exhibition. And in this new permanent exhibition, that's really what we try to do, is to focus better, not try to tell too many different stories, but a focus on a context that's understandable and that makes sense to the visitors.
Have you had any security problems or problems with the people in the neighborhood being a big Jewish museum?
Actually, not that I heard of. Actually, I think it's quite surprising that there are not many problems through the time that this museum exists. But of course, we have policemen in front of the museum, walking around the whole museum area all the time, day and night. So we are quite safe.
Is there anything else you would like to add that we might have left out?
Yeah, maybe what I would like to add is that our museum, and what I personally like about this museum, is that it's not such a static institution, but that it's developing all the time. And one aspect is that we are working on a renewal of the permanent exhibition, but other aspects are that we are working on a new children's museum on the opposite side of the street for children up to 10 years. And one aspect is that some years ago we opened the so-called Academy of the Jewish Museum Berlin, also on the other side of the street, that focuses on more general questions of migration and diversity. So the museum is like a dynamic institution reacting to changes in German society and trying to find new ways to present and convey important subjects.
Is the Academy something that's open to the public, or is it mostly for people who are doing research?
No, it's open to the public. Everybody can go there and take part in the events and discussions, panel discussions, films, and they show programs they offer. It's open to everybody.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's it for this week. As always, we'd love to hear from you. So please email us any comments or suggestions or questions you'd like us to answer on the air. Our address is EnglishCorner@RadioSefarad.com. See you next week.